5 this afternoon, you're not as forlorn as you normally are when we're live. But you are at 127. That means we have 203 to go. Once again, I think your frame can probably handle it for 2 consecutive weeks. I'm going to call those that will join me in partial or complete fast and prayer, because this is a spiritual battle we're fighting, that we can reach our goal. Again, not later than Wednesday, and preferably before. We ought to be able to push it up to Tuesday this week, though we're not as far along as we were at this hour last Sunday. You'll get, you that are watching and were not live in the cathedral today, will get more teaching in the next hour than you'll probably get in other places all week. And those that were in the cathedral can stand to hear it again. So as always, we'll be playing the message between 10 and 12. This hour is a hard-working hour where we can sample the response to the message from those who heard it on the network today or were in the cathedral. We were likewise not knocking any home runs with the crowd we had today at the cathedral. So I'm asking you to get busy early on this week with your commitments to be in the cathedral Sunday. Okay? Now get on, you know what we're doing. Get on the telephone with your commitments this week, what you're going to jointly participate with, and your commitment to be in the cathedral this week. You know, I'm a little short of voices of faith in here tonight, too, and that's usually a monitor of what's to come through the week. I, as many of you, watched part of the Laker game today. There was one thing stood out. I happened to see a camera pick up Elden Campbell sitting on the bench. And the camera went by just as he was yawning. And I said to myself, you know, I've had my questions about this player that can jump like a pogo stick, but during the news conferences, he's playing video games. That's for 8-year-olds. And that tells me about all I need to know about him. I don't know where Jerry West was when he made that pick. But a guy that will sit and yawn during a championship playoff game tells you all you need to know. And as some of the commentators noted, you could just see it in the eyes. I played basketball when I was younger, and I stood in awe of Michael Jordan. But I've watched him continue to demonstrate his great physical and athletic and playing skills, but diminish himself as a personal giant with such idiot statements as "my supporting cast." And I've watched Magic Johnson continue to grow in his graceful way to take and utilize his attributes. And because I'm in a staff reorganization situation, I paid attention that if I were a coach building a team, I would hope for the opportunity to give Michael Jordan and his big-headed skills away in order to get a Magic Johnson. They could put a team together. But I've also noticed that the Chicago Bulls are hungry, and they're eager. And they come there determined to make a difference. And a certain kind of listlessness on the side of the Lakers. And it's that attitudinal edge more than the talent edge. The experience and knowledge and talent of the Lakers can match the Bulls. It's the attitudinal edge. Michael Jordan notwithstanding. That's what I sense in here. I can sense it every single night I sit down. You make this room come alive with your enthusiasm. I also think that the forum audience is out to lunch. I mean, probably the forum would be better off if they'd prohibit movie stars from sitting there and get some real people in. The Chicago Bulls audience, again, the people in Chicago let their team know they want to win. I pastor a church in Los Angeles. I know this Los Angeles attitude. They're a spoiled crowd that's used to coming and being brought up by their team, because they're used to coming and seeing their team win. They don't have any guts. They don't have any ability to lift their team to higher heights. Even the introductions in the Chicago amphitheater tell you their eagerness to win. Now, all of this applies to what I'm saying here. This is what's wrong with my congregation. You're getting to where we've had so many victories, you just sort of sit back and want to watch the victories instead of make it happen. You got to make it happen with your faith. Quit being an onlooker and quit being a spoiled brat for Jesus. And get on these telephones and in the trenches and make it happen. I can't explain it. I just know it's a fact that when faith goes to work, faith is contagious, and it puts Satan on the run. You wait to watch somebody else's faith win the victory. It ain't going to happen. You get in there and make it happen. Now, come on. We got now 53 minutes or 48 minutes to really work before we play the Sunday morning service. Get busy. Get these phones busy. And where are the rest of the voices of faith that are supposed to be here tonight? And I'm just really disturbed. Last Sunday night, we had a full house of voices of faith here. Tonight, it's about a half house. And what I'm talking about, the NBA playoffs, is very relevant. I mean, God says he'll spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm. He'd rather have you against him than lukewarm. I mean, the Lakers playing in Chicago were better off than playing here. Home court advantage didn't mean anything. Because in Chicago, the opposition was so noisy it made you mad and you wanted to whip the Chicago Bulls just because the crowd was so partisan. Better play with an audience that's got the kind of life of the Chicago audience that makes you mad because they're so partisan than to play in front of a lukewarm audience like I've been watching here in Los Angeles. Spoiled brats that if they can't see Showtime and the Lakers winning by 20 points, can't seem to get any enthusiasm going to bring the team up. And that's the way I feel tonight. I'm just really, this whole room is just dead from the moment I've been in here. There's not enough voices of faith, and you aren't calling enough. Now, come on, get on telephone.
Well, my mama met my daddy down in Alabama. They tied the knot, so here I am. Born on the bayou on the Texas line. Loved in Louisiana, raised on jambalaya. I could walk, I had a guitar in my hand. By the time I could talk, I had my own band. I went on the road when I was 8 years old. When I turned 15, I was stealing the show. Money to burn and the girls are pretty. It didn't take me long to learn it. I was born to boogie.
was 18, I went to Hollywood. I met Elvis in Maryland and Johnny B. Good. Got my guitar painted and some California sun. A red Cadillac had too much fun. Now we were playing them halls and jamming them. And we moved it on over to MGM. They said, this is the boy we've been telling you about. He lit a cigar and he stuck his hand out. You get 50,000 too. I told him my mama didn't raise no fool. I'll take your money, I'm making movies. I can tell you right now, I was born to boogie.
Dr. Scott can be heard nightly from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. West Coast time on International Shortwave Radio Frequency 7520 kilohertz, 7 days a week. Dr. Scott continues from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. West Coast time, Monday through Friday, on 15690 kilohertz on WWCR Nashville, Tennessee.
Remember last week as I called upon the congregation to fasting and prayer to win this spiritual battle. Satan, who is not omniscient, was taken by surprise. This week he's ready for us. It's very apparent that he found ways to distract and move voices of faith aside. And the momentum we normally have at this hour, we don't yet have. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You let the phone ring 7 times. If it's not answered, you dial again because it'll come in on a different place on the rotary. But you keep these phones busy in this room and voices of faith, you get on your horse and get down here. This ain't a day off for those that are scheduled for Sunday duty. You get down here and get on telephone. Thirty some minutes hence, we will replay the message from the cathedral this morning. This ministry has always been involved since I came to town in correcting the worldview of things spiritual, things eternal, things Christian. You can't get it right if certain basic starting points are not settled. The church is not mine or yours. It is a people that belongs to the Lord. It is His. The earth is not yours or mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The silver and gold are mine, saith the Lord. Remember, it is the Lord that giveth you the power to get wealth. You can't get anything right if you can't get the foundations right. And the hardest thing for a church to do is to remake its thinking that's been distorted by the false prophets, who look like representatives of Christ but get their message from Satan, who always comes and changes what the Lord hath said. He started that with Eve and with Adam. Now, it is very apparent that the truth that I've been teaching needs continual dinning in your ears. or we would have 3,000, whether I'm live or not live, on these phones every Sunday, calling and saying, I submit to the rule of God and His Spirit and His rights, and for His sake, as well as mine, I'm going to get my priorities lined up, and on this phone with some expression of faith on the first day of the week, so I start this week out right, recognizing the Lord's rights. Why you resist this? Why you who listen to me continue to have to be told to do this is a testimonial to your rebellion and the danger state of that rebellion that caused God to throw the bones of His chosen people in the wilderness in the Old Testament. These are serious and last days. And you have been saturated with a ministry that is forever presenting God as a useful tool for you, a useful helper for you, a miraculous supplier of your every need and a miraculous supplier of the answer to your every problem. In short, what God can do for you. Well, He ain't interested in being that to you until you first recognize His rights and the price He paid to open the door to have relationship with you again. Now, I cannot understand the people that I teach finding it so difficult to pick up a phone on Sunday and say, you can count on me. I am part of the foundation that you can finally settle it, that 16 years of seed planting of God's Word has borne fruit, and you can count on me and move on this foundation to greater heights. Why can you not get that straight until we can move on in this ministry? Now get on the telephone. Our goal is very simple. Out of 50-some thousand King's Houses, our rock foundation must be 3,000, the Gideon number compounded by the number of human responsibility, 10 times 300. 3,000, as we claim the promise, by the 300 will I save. 10 units of that, which adds the number of human responsibility. For these many years, it has been the line of victory, 3,000, that each week on the first day of the week will call up and say, you can count on me to jointly participate in faith and sacrifice this week, and this is my faith commitment. Now come on, go on telephone. Is 3,000 just a number? No, it's not just a number. We have claimed the promise for 16 years. By the 300 will I save. When we passed 300, we added the factor of 10, the number for human responsibility, and made 3,000 our foundational number. And we're still claiming it. There are enough King's Houses and enough people that 3,000 each and every week can get on the phone and say, you can count on me. We will be the foundation, the rope fellows like those that let Paul over the wall in a basket, the ones that Gideon could count on to be alert to the battle. We're letting you know upon the first day of the week that you can count on us to jointly participate in faith and sacrifice announced early on. And this is what, by faith, we're going to try to do with God's help. And what's the big deal about doing that? Get on the telephone. and say, I'll be one of the 3,000 you can count on. We could have 3,000 check in, make their commitment, and get this job done in 1 hour's time. And well over a third of that number was in the King's House Cathedral this morning and should already be on the telephone. Now, come on. Welcome to those who join us this half hour. Each Sunday night, a host of stations join us about this hour, some to stay for an hour, some to an hour and a half, some for 2 hours, and some for all night. We join WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, on shortwave radio, 7520 on your frequency dial. We're with WWCR every single night, 10 p.m. until 4 a.m., and then the frequency changes from 7520 to 15690 for an additional 2 hours from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. We've already been on 9785, the Voice of Hope, out of Simi Valley here in the Los Angeles area. We're on each night from 8 p.m. until midnight. 9785 frequency. So you can pick us up on two separate frequencies on your shortwave radio, 7520-9785. And those that join us on Sunday night are finding out that if you want to stay with us all week long, 7 nights a week, and pick up the teaching, you need to get a shortwave radio. We're also 24 hours a day off Westar 5, transponder 1X, to those that have satellite dishes. Welcome to Channel 11 in Fort Worth, Channel 39 in Houston. And we are still doing what our goal has been for some many weeks. Out of the almost 55,000 King's Houses that have made a commitment to watch and support, we ask that 3,000 each week call in, preferably, as Paul said, upon the first day of the week, and lay in store that there be no gathering. We don't use gimmicks. We don't use projects. We ask people to give the biblical way, because the earth is the Lord's and the tithe is the Lord's, and you bring the tithe to the storehouse where you get your spiritual food. If we teach you, Galatians 6 says you share material things with the teacher, and I ask nothing from anyone until we first taught you. But 55,000 of our audience have indicated a desire to be a King's House, which means they try to watch at least once a week and support in some way. And of those King's Houses, we ask 3,000 each week to call in and say, I will jointly participate with you this week in faith and sacrifice to testify to the value of the teaching as the support system you can count on. So be one of the 3,000 that calls in each week. In the cities that we buy time on Sunday night, we only ask that you carry the airtime that we purchase in your city, and that only after we first have taught you. Now, we've been in these cities for a long time. We haven't added any new cities for quite a while. You've all been taught we're going to go into the cathedral shortly with the message from the morning, as we always do during this two-hour segment. But first, I want you to check in on the telephone. And those that will be one of the 3,000, get on the phone and say, you can count on me in our city to be one of those that's the foundation of support. And I will jointly participate with you this week in prayer and faith and sacrifice to keep this ministry in our town. Now, come on, get on the telephone.
United States, call 1-800-338-3030. That's 1-800-338-3030. In Canada, the West Indies, Mexico, and the rest of the world, you may call Collect at area code 818-240-8151. That's area code 818-240-8151.
On July 7th at the Los Angeles University Cathedral is Freedom Sunday, and it is also national and international homecoming for all of the King's Houses that have watched us through the year. It celebrates the anniversary when we first went on satellite for international television. Our special guest for Freedom Sunday, July 7th, is a face that you'll all instantly recognize. Put it on the camera. General Tom Kelly, who endeared himself to the nation as the Pentagon briefer during the Gulf War. General Tom Kelly will be our guest on Freedom Sunday at the Los Angeles University Cathedral. I'm sure you will want to be there. So make plans as King's Houses from across the nation come in to join us at the Los Angeles University Cathedral, Sunday, July 7th. Don't you miss it. Come on, go and telephone. I want you to say to me, I'll be one of 3,000 you can count on this week. Now, after one more song, I'm going to take you into the cathedral for today's message, as our usual practice is during this 2 hours. But we've been teaching for a long time in the Fort Worth area and wherever Channel 11 reaches and Channel 39. In both cases, you have not yet risen to the level of support to where you cover just what we pay for the airtime. Come on, you folks in Channel 39 area and Channel 11 out of Fort Worth. If you appreciate the teaching that comes to you every Sunday night, and I'm reminding you, if you'd get a short wave, you could listen to us every night, then why don't you become one of the 3,000 that calls in and says you can count on me to be a support system, one of those jointly participating with you, and by faith and sacrifice this week, you can count on me. I'm going to try to do this. We're not specifying an amount. We're asking for 3,000 that we can count on to say to us on the first day of the week, I'm one of those that you can count on, and this is what, by faith, I'm going to do this week. Now, come on, get on the telephone. Now, as we take you to the cathedral in downtown Los Angeles for the replay of the message in the Sunday morning service today, as always, we'll be here taking your calls during the message, and we'll be here live when the message is completed. This is just a segment within the 2-hour time span each Sunday night where we replay the message from the morning. I have taught more than a year's messages on the subject of giving as the Bible teaches it. I have a private crusade against those that continue to demean God by making the support of God's ministry an add-on that uses Madison Avenue techniques, gimmicks, Ponzi schemes, giveaways in return for love gifts, that's a way of avoiding taxes. God set up a stewardship program, and God talks an awful lot about giving in his book. The Old Testament is full of the laws of the offerings. So I have preached more than a year of messages on the subject of giving. They are in a volume. The Truth is in the Teaching. This is the third volume. 12 messages in each volume. We've now completed 3 or 4 of these volumes. And before we're finished, there'll be probably 60 or 70 messages on the subject of giving from God's view that slices through all of the stuff that brings embarrassment to thinking Christians in the way in which the carnival hucksters for God have raised money. God's not embarrassed to talk about money. Jesus stood right by the treasury and watched people as they gave. God doesn't need your money. As C.S. Lewis has said, God to be God has no needs. He speaks and everything is. We're creatures and we have needs, but God doesn't. So giving has to be on a basis other than God's needs. And we've tried to sort it out in more than a year of teaching, spread over a 2-year period that's not completed yet. And again today, the message is one of the continuing giving series. We'll be here taking your calls, and we'll be here when the message is over. But with that introduction, we take you into the Los Angeles University Cathedral as the message was taught this morning. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, or divers times, and in sundry or divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers, or our spiritual ancestors, by the prophets. And there's a whole section of God's book in the Old Testament that encompasses that speaking. And throughout the Old Testament, God spoke with types and shadows, from rocks and water to specific elements like the tabernacle. He spoke in special ways through angels and, in Moses' case, a burning bush, and to the Israelites, thunderings off Mount Sinai. Who has written, Paul says, his message in the stars and in the heavens, brings to sharp focus what he wants to say. In these last days, by speaking unto us by Son, or his Son, the his being in italics, but in a more specific and broader way, generically, amazingly, by an incarnate moving into human flesh and bringing the life of God right onto the stage of history. And as the theologians are prone to say, the eternal Word became the incarnate Word to become the spoken Word and preached Word and written Word, that it might become the implanted Word in us and then become the engrafted Word through the fusion of the Spirit into our being, that we in turn become a little bit incarnate of his nature, and then will become one with him over there, and the eternal Word returns to its being. This amazing claim of Christianity, that God's very life camped, or to use John's words, tented, struck a tent in human flesh, is a manner of speaking that goes beyond all other manners of speaking that God has been doing. This Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, heir of all things, he, God, hath appointed but I just made out my will. For my wife or husband, children, and people I care about. Did you ask anybody besides your attorney for advice? Isn't it amazing? You just can't address the God of Scripture without getting to things things. Things monetary. You know, I was just starting to feel spiritual about this subject. I mean, you know, God, who in times past, sundry places, sundry manners, hath spoken. Oh, goody, good, good, we get to hear from God. Hath spoken unto us by prophets. I mean, that makes me want to shimmer. In things spiritual, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.